The following is a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita on August 1st, 1993, at Belfast, Ireland. This is a continuation from tape number 531.
So pi kai shoraka vayo manayam madhusudana reme stri ratna kutastha kshapashu shapitahita. This is a quote from Vishnu Purana. Lord Madhusudana enjoyed his youth with pastimes on autumn nights in the midst of the jewel-like milkmaids. Thus he dispelled all the misfortunes of the world. Any questions? Sure, it's that one sort of covers the three, but they're divided as wanting to understand what her position is. Prabhupada was explaining that in 1967 to one of his disciples, and to give an example, he said, just like I am the spiritual master and you're the disciple, if I want to know how you are loving me, what it's like for you to serve your spiritual master, for me to know that, I would have to take your position, because I'm the spiritual master, you're the disciple. But if I want to know, I have to take your position. So that's what the first reason is. He wanted to take the position of Srimati Radharani, know what that was like. And the second is, he wanted to know what Krishna was like. So that's quite a different point. Krishna is so beautiful and that he attracts himself. Like, as an example, he saw his reflection in a pillar. And he said, I've never seen such a beautiful form. So he wants to know, what is that sweetness? So he tries to taste it himself, but the best way to taste, sometimes as a baby he sucks his toe. But the best way to understand how sweet Krishna is to see through Radharani's eyes. So that's the second reason. And the third is the bliss, to experience the bliss of Radharani. Those are the three. So he had these, all these desires to act as a yoga avatar, to distribute Sankirtan as the Dharma for the age, and inject it, as only he could, with Krishna Prema, a very special Krishna Prema. And those are, we say, secondary, because he had a private reason, and that was these three, to experience. The secondary reasons, they're ones that we can directly participate in. We can receive the Sankirtan, we can practice the Sankirtan, we can also receive that special prema that he was teaching, but we can't do the other things. We can't take the position of Radharani. but we can worship Lord Chaitanya in doing that, and can understand him like his associates did, and understand the supreme value of Radha Krishna pastimes by his by seeing his absorption in them. How deep are the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya? That's why no one should ever make any duality that I like the pastimes of Krishna, I don't like the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya so much. Oh, I like Navadvip, I'm in Lord Chaitanya's mood, I'm not so attracted to Radha and Krishna. But they're together, you can't separate them. How can you worship Lord Chaitanya and not worship Radha and Krishna? And you can't reach Radha and Krishna unless you go through Lord Chaitanya.
Or even within Gaudiya Vaishnavas in those different groups, we have different practices. practices are different codes of conduct, etc. How do we relate with them?
Well, we should be chunata peace in ichin anachurai vasihishana. We should be humble with everyone, and certainly with sadhus. But sadhus, there are different sadhus. So the Mayavadi sadhus, we would stick to mostly polite and formal exchanges. But then those who are Vaishnavas, we would feel more warm about them. We all have faith in prasadam, but we take prasadam with them. We can feel nice. We take prasadam with the Mayavadi. What's he thinking of that the prasadam is? it depends also how they accept us. Some people, they don't accept ISKCON Western devotees. Or they'll accept them in certain ways, or they won't take prasadam with them because they feel contaminated. Because they have a wrong idea of prasadam. I'm making the point that our etiquette will also depend on their attitude toward us. There was the devotee who was in charge of the Krishna Balaram temple back in early 1970s, before the temple was built. He was telling Prabhupada that some of the pandas, the persons who were guides to show the devotees around, they were employed by the temple for the festival to take devotees around to holy places. So the devotee was telling Prabhupada that the panda, we asked him to take, we invited him to take prasadam with us. He said, no, I cannot take prasadam with you. I'm a Brahmin. So then the temple president said, when he said that, he said, I told him then leave at once. And he didn't want to employ him anymore. But Prabhupada seemed to approve of that action. And he said, he will take your money, but because money is pure, he'll take that from your hand. If you give him, here's your money. He'll take it. But if you say, here's prasadam, he won't take it. So Prabhupada said, that's because money is pure. You can give me as much as you like. I will take. But prasadam I cannot take from your hands because you're a malecha. So that means that they're so foolish and caste conscious that they make an offense towards the Krishna prasadam. So if the Vaishnavas or sadhus, and many of them do in India, they very much appreciate and love the devotees of Prabhupada and treat them very warmly. And so when you're treated that way, you're bound to reciprocate warmly with them. And we don't have to get into all the details, not that you sit down with them and immediately say, you worship different than we do, and start a fight. Everybody knows already the points of similarity and dissimilarity, so we try not to become controversial with them. Only if there's some challenge, like when the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were challenged in Jaipur, that you don't have a Vedanta Sutra, or there's no evidence that Radharani should be worshipped with Krishna, then they have to take such things seriously and make debates or whatever's necessary. So we can know the differences. I know Ganga Prabhu has become quite expert in understanding all the four sampradayas. He can tell you all the fascinating histories and differences between them. But we are very strictly followers of Rupa Goswami. I was sorry I was sick that night that Rupa Goswami's disappearance day. I wanted to add my tiny attempt to glorify him. And basically we're interested in one sampradaya, the Rupanuga sampradaya. And even although we can mix, your question was how do we mix in a social sense, a practical sense when we meet these people. That's one thing. But our understanding, when we want to read something, when we want to be nourished, when we want to really sit and hear or inquire, we must hear from someone who's a Rupanuga. Even if he lives in Vrindavan, he worships Lord Chaitanya, he worships Radha Krishna, but not coming from Rupa Goswami, not coming from Narottam Das Thakur, not coming from, that's not even enough. He says, yes, I'm coming from Vishwanath Chakravarti, I accept him, he's the authority. But this Bhaktivinoda Thakur, don't know anything about him, no particular connection with him, then we don't want to hear from him either. We want to hear from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Sanda Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada. So being friendly with all is one thing, and then seriously inquiring for your spiritual benefit is another thing. It should be in the Sampradaya. Anybody else? Maybe a little more. Lord Krishna made Srimati Radharani close her eyes in shame before her friends by his words relating their amorous activities on the previous night. Then he showed the highest limit of cleverness in drawing pictures of dolphins in various playful sports on her breasts. In this way, Lord Hari made his youth successful by performing pastimes in the bushes with Sri Radha and her friends. Purport, this is a verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Srila Rupa Goswami. It's also in the Nectar of Devotion, like that. O Purnamasi, if Lord Hari had not descended in Mathura with Srimati Radharani, this entire creation, and especially Cupid, the demigod of love, would have been useless. This verse, spoken by Sri Brindadevi in the Vidagdha Madhava of Srila Rupa Goswami. I'm feeling this is like a warm-up for my VIHE course. I'm going to be teaching selections from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I'm going to start out, first four classes, I'm going to cover these four chapters. And then after that, because they're like a foundation, Adi Lila chapters 1-4, a foundation for understanding philosophically and in terms of rasa, everything about Lord Chaitanya. And then from there, I'll just range out and pick different topics, selected topics of interest to me and what I think will be of interest to the devotees. And one class will be just a class about Srila Rupa Goswami. And hopefully we can really dive into the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Even though Lord Krishna, the abode of all mellows, had previously in this way chewed the essence of the mellows of love, still he was unable to fulfill three desires, although he made efforts to taste them. I shall explain his first desire. Krishna says, I am the primary cause of all rasas. I am the full spiritual truth and am made of full joy, but the love of Srimati Radharani drives me mad. I do not know the strength of Radha's love with which she always overwhelms me. The love of Radhika is my teacher, and I am her dancing pupil. Her prema makes me dance various novel dances. Then here's a next verse, is a dialogue from Govinda Lilamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Oh, my beloved friend, Brinda, where are you coming from? I'm coming from the feet of Sri Hari. Where is he? In the forest on the bank of Radhakund. What is he doing there? He's learning dancing. Who is his master? Your image, Radha, revealing itself in every tree and creeper, in every direction, is roaming like a skillful dancer, making him dance behind. When they weren't with each other, Radha or Krishna, they used to see their beloved in any object that they thought resembled Krishna. If he saw a yellow flower, and Radharani saw something dark like a cloud or a tamal tree, they would think that Krishna was there, and sometimes imagine all kinds of things. Whatever pleasure I get from tasting my love for Srimati Radharani, she tastes 10 million times more than me by her love. Just as I am the abode of all mutually contradictory characteristics, so Radha's love is always full of similar contradictions. Radha's love is all-pervading, leaving no room for expansion, but still it is expanding constantly. There is certainly nothing greater than her love, but her love is devoid of pride, that is the sign of its greatness. Nothing is purer than her love, but its behavior is always perverse and crooked. All glories to Radha's love for Krishna, the enemy of the demon Mura, Although it is all-pervading, it tends to increase at every moment. Although it is important, it is devoid of pride. And although it is pure, it is always beset with duplicity. This is a verse from Dhanakeli Kamudi of Srila Rupa Goswami. We can't understand or imitate the ways that Radha manifests her love, but these essences are very important, and we should try to follow them, always to increase our devotion, to not be proud of our devotion, and to be pure. Pure love. So we could go on and on, but it's a very delicate subject matter. We only take a certain amount at a time. And then you have to digest it. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
Because what she was mentioning, just the Shri Ramalam is not free of pride. It was mentioned it twice. And I was thinking about in the Krishna book where Krishna leaves the boat with the gopis and goes up with Radharani into the forest, and then ultimately he leaves Srimati Radharani as well, and it said that the reason is given that there was some pride to help me understand.
Well, we don't understand it like that Radharani was a conditioned soul, a neophyte devotee who got puffed up, and Krishna had to punish her. It was just something to increase the rasas. It's explained elaborately what was actually going on by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And just suffice to say now that it's just take it that it's to so that Krishna could go away from her. And then when she would express her separation, he would hear that separation, and he would taste it. He would to see Radharani's love for him, the way she expresses it in separation, brought great pleasure to Krishna. That was one reason that he did it. There are other reasons also. But it's not to be taken that that was just an external manifestation. But it's a lesson for us that we should not be proud. And Prabhupada says that there, that Krishna doesn't like his devotees to become proud, and if they do become proud, I'm the best devotee, then he does something to adjust their thinking so they won't think like that anymore. So in our case, it may be some excess that we do a little something, there seems to be some favor from Krishna or Krishna's devotee, and then we become proud, we think I'm the best. So for us, that instruction is there. But Srimati Radharani can never make any mistake or ever do anything that's displeasing to Krishna. Yes?
Well, I think I heard somebody say once on that point that it was because Krishna is the greatest renunciate. That's one of his opulences. It was full of renunciation. Is that right?
So he could renounce Radharani? It could be said like that. But actually he cannot renounce Srimati Radharani. Different people, according to their qualification, they can draw some lesson from a pastime of what Krishna does. So we're so attached to our families and our wives and associates and so on. So if somebody could leave all that for purposes of Krishna consciousness, then that's an opulence of renunciation. And we actually have to do that to advance in Krishna consciousness. If not literally leave, we have to not be attached. So Krishna does different things that show that opulence of renunciation. But for those who already have renounced and want to know more about Krishna, they don't see Krishna's leaving the gopis as a display of the opulence of renunciation. But they see it as a churning of the rasa of Radha and Krishna. Similarly, for those neophyte devotees like ourselves who get puffed up, we may be told that Krishna left Radharani because he doesn't want devotees to become proud, and if they do become proud, he will adjust that. But if you're humble, and if you're qualified or greedy to hear what actually is the nature of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, if you've given up material sense gratification, then you can understand something else about why Krishna leaves Radharani. So the acharyas are expert. They teach us what we need to know according to our lack of qualification or our qualification. And we should be satisfied with what they teach us. And not be seeking out contradictions. Because often both things are true. Like we were saying about Hare Krishna mantra, it means Balaram, it means Ramchandra, and it means Krishna, the word Rama. So they're all right. Go ahead.
You said that we'll be challenged, Mahashu Bush, Rama, and Krishna, and we have to be prepared to answer that challenge. So, what would I say about that? So, I was thinking I would have known who.
Why do we worship Radha with Krishna? Well, it depends on what their point was. But I was referring to that historical incident in Jaipur where the other group said that Krishna, Narayan, he's always married, so he can appear with his consort in a married relationship. But Srimati Radharani is not married. That's another point. They would say Srimati Radharani is married to Krishna. That's another controversy. And so Rupa Goswami point out that it's not marriage, it's a parakiya rasa. But they also said that Radharani should not... So that in order to do that, then Jiva Goswami, he proved that actually Radharani is the eternal consort of Krishna, and he made an argument that they are married, but although they're not actually married, but just to satisfy those persons who had such a small this idea of morality as it had to apply to Krishna. So that was one thing that was going on centuries ago and may still be going on. So just in general, you should know the tattva, the siddhanta of what is Radha, what is Krishna. Like we were saying, like he's saying, that they're one. Krishna, he expands as Srimati Radharani to experience the pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti. It's a spiritual... the highest spiritual truth And it's not that Krishna is an ordinary man and he has some girlfriends, but it's the Supreme Lord experiencing his pleasure potency in this way. Krishna becomes two in order to enjoy these pastimes. So you have to know this, you have to know these teachings, and then if, whatever it is that somebody says, the why Radha shouldn't be there, or why they should be married or not married, you should know all the conclusions. Yeah, you know, Prabhupada says that in the sixth chapter about the Yamadutas, when they get challenged by the Vishnudutas, that the Yamadutas didn't know that there was somebody greater than Yama Raj. And Prabhupada says, devotees in the Krishna conscious movement, they should know all the conclusions so that when they go to preach, they don't get insulted and not know what the answer is. Of course, these things are so confidential, it's not that we would even want to discuss them. And it's rare that you will have anybody challenge you like that. But if they do, or in the West, if it takes some gross form, then you can be able to explain to people, at least in a simple way, how Radha and Krishna are, this is a pure thing, a reciprocation of God and his best devotee. There's nothing material about it. Like Prabhupada says in the Krishna, he starts the Krishna book introduction. When a person in the West sees a picture, like the picture on the cover of the Krishna book, they ask, who is Krishna? Who's the girl with Krishna? So he had to be able to explain. Then Prabhupada is interesting in that introduction. Then he explains in detail, he answers that question, who is Krishna? But he doesn't answer the other question. He raises the other question, who is the girl with Krishna? But he doesn't answer it. So we don't particularly want to answer. We talk with people who don't understand, don't even understand what is the soul, or what is the body. Why should we have to discuss about Srimati Radharani with such people? Sukadeva Goswami didn't even mention her name explicitly in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but we're reading it because it's here today in the course of the subject. It's not to be avoided when it comes, but it's not part of the preaching. We don't preach about this. It's discussed among the devotees. Lord Chaitanya never preached about Srimati Radharani. He preached about Harinam. So it's so extraordinary what we're being given here, Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're being brought into the Gambira and to hear all these things. We have no qualification, actually. But what are we going to do? We're not going to shut the book and say we don't want to read it. But we only discuss it among like-minded devotees. And if you feel that it's too advanced for you, then you can just study what you can understand. All right, we'll stop here. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.